I've titled this lesson, Consider What God Allows. And in particular, I want to look at a couple of things that God allows us to take part in or participate in. Consider what God allows. We will be looking at two specific things, but these are just two things that I'd like for us to focus on for a moment. Of course, they're not limited to these two things. But I want to look at two things. Number one, prayer. And then the second thing that we'll look at is giving or contribution. I want us to look at how God considers these things. And then for us to truly consider how we treat these things. Can we do that? And let's be honest with ourselves. Maybe this will require some change on our part. So I hope that if that be the case, we're willing to do that. I hope that this study together will either remind us of things we already knew or help us consider things in a way we didn't think of already. As we look at these things, consider your or my, our attitude. Where is our heart concerning these? Let's start off in 1 Samuel. If you would, turn with me to 1 Samuel 16. The Lord says that the heart has to do with what is in man. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, it says, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." We see here that the Lord looks inward. And we can look over at Genesis, in Genesis 6, 5. It says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And there's also a verse that we're very familiar with in the New Testament. That's Matthew 6:21. Matthew 6:21 tells us, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So that's the idea of what is important to us. We want to make sure that we're not doing these things out of rote. Because I know that that is a trap that we can easily fall into. As we will see a little further on, God does not need these things that we'll be looking at, but these things we're doing are for us. But in doing so, they show that we trust in them and we honor God. So as we look at these things, let's consider where our heart is concerning them. I'm using the term heart as a reflection of importance. And then as Christians, this should be a reflection of importance to us based on knowledge that we have. That is the knowledge of God. We know who God is and what He has done for us. We know that God is worthy of our praise and worthy of our devotion. And that is worship. That's what it's based on, His worthiness. And the two things that we'll be looking at are things that are acts of worship. So prayer. Of course, we know prayer is not limited to when we assemble. And I hope that isn't the only time when we use it. And it's not just giving thanks for the food, as I'm sure many do. But if that's the only time that we're using prayer, then I wonder how thoughtful our prayers really are. Because obviously there's something that we don't understand about it, if that's the only time we're using it. You know, God allows us these things. It should be treated as a privilege. Like I mentioned, God doesn't need our prayer. This is for us. Think about it. The Creator of the universe, deity, God, we're nothing in comparison. Yet He allows us to approach Him. He allows us to speak to Him. Shouldn't that mean something to us? You know, one thing about prayer, it's a demonstration that God hears us. Let's look at some Psalms. Let's turn over to Psalms. We'll start in Psalms 4. We're going to see this idea over and over. We'll look at about four different Psalms, but we'll see this idea of give ear or hear. Psalms 4:3 says, "But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for Himself. The Lord hears when I call to Him." Then if you turn over to chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning." If we go to chapter 17, verse 1 says, "Hear a just cause, O Lord. Give heed to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips." And we'll look at one more. It's in chapter 54. Chapter 54, verse 2. It says, "Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth." We can see that the psalmist believed that they were heard by the pouring out of their heart. And as I mentioned earlier, prayer is a benefit. Let's turn over to Matthew 6:8. Familiar with this verse, but Matthew 6:8. It tells us that, or it says, "For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." So God already knows what we need. As we said, it's not for His benefit. He allows us to speak to Him. The fact of the matter is that as Christians, we know that we should be a people who are devoted to prayer. Let's look at Romans 12. We can start in verse 9. It says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer." What about 1 Thessalonians 5? Another familiar verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So we see that we should ever be thankful. We should ever want to approach God and be thankful that He allows us to do this. Let's look at Philippians 4:6. Now we see this helpful aspect of prayer in the Philippians 4:6. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." It's a verse that starts off saying not to be anxious, okay, or not to be worried or uneasy. It's a term also that deals with or causing anxiety. So, do we have cause for being anxious or anxiety? Maybe. But God tells us that prayer can help us overcome. It says that prayers and supplication or petition, let your requests be made known to God. Go to Him with your concern. We can take our worries to the God of heaven. Now, out of His wisdom, He might not answer in the way that we want or in the time that we want. But we should trust that He knows best. He's indeed proven to be trustworthy. We know that He's always looking out for us. We know that through the giving of His Son. We can't doubt His love for us. You turn with me to 1 Samuel. First Samuel 1:1. Probably familiar with. Now I'm not going to promise I pronounce all the names right, but you're probably familiar with Elkanah and his two wives. And let's look at this and see what we can learn about prayer, because this has some important points or things that we can learn from it. First, let's see what the issue was. Verse 2. It said that he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Verse 5, it says that But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly and irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. And it happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her. So she would weep. So she wept and would not eat. So we see here that Hannah was without children, and Peninnah had children. Peninnah would provoke Hannah about that and irritate her because of it. And, you know, we see here that that Hannah's womb was closed. So what did this cause in Hannah? What do we see happening here? Let's look at verse 7 again. It says, "And it happened year after year, as often as she wept." Oh, I'm sorry. "As often she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her. So she wept and would not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad?'" Verse 10 says that she's greatly distressed. and wept bitterly. Verse 15 says she's oppressed in spirit. So what does this describe? What could this be describing about a person? Could you say she was depressed? What does she do about it? That's the important thing. What does she do about it? She took her concerns to the Lord. So do we do that? Do we ask Him for help? We're going to read verses 10 through 18. It says, "And she, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy maidservant and remember me, and not forget thy maidservant, but will give thy maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head." Now it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart. Only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, "How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman. For I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. So after she prayed, and after Eli tells her, you know, to go in peace, may the God of Israel grant your petition, the end of the verse 18 says, her face was no longer sad. So it seems to me that prayer itself, or the act of it, helped ease some of her troubles. Trusting her problems to the Lord, her face was no longer sad. Because the verses we read, she had asked of the Lord, but he had not yet answered. You know, think about what we read in Philippians. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, the answer might not always be what we want, but like we said, in this case it was favorable, but like we said, God is trustworthy and He knows best about things. And the ease itself, just knowing and speaking to God about the cares and the troubles that we have. What a wonderful blessing He allows us. But let's read, finish verses 19 through 20. It says, "Then they arose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And it came about in due time after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord." Do we go to God with our concerns? We should, if we trust that He hears. What a wonderful blessing He allows. Not only is prayer good for us and our situations, we know that this is something that we can do for others. You know, when you think of some of the letters of Paul, He mentions praying for others. He's also asked for prayers in them for himself. Do we consider others in our prayers? And not only that, do we ask others for prayers if we have something difficult going on in our life? Because again, that shows that we trust that God hears and He's able. What does James 5 tell us about prayer? James 5:16, it says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." So do we believe that? Do we do that? There are many kinds of prayers we could talk about, and we won't. There's not time. But I do want to say, not only the types of prayers, consider the examples of prayers. You know, those of the Bible that trusted in prayer. We have examples of Jesus praying. He prayed. We don't have to turn there, but Mark 1:35 is an example that he prayed in the morning. We have example of evening, Matthew 14:22. And that's something that we should think about. You know, do we thank God in the morning? Are we thankful to Him for the good rest that we've had, or the safety? And or come to Him about our concerns, or consider the day ahead with Him? We should. Again, a wonderful blessing the Lord allows us. And then in doing so, we honor Him as well. And do we thank God at the end of the day for the day that He's allowed us? Pray for safe rest or safety in the evening as we get ready to end our day and wind it down. And during these times of prayer, and not saying it only has to be morning and evening, but during these times of prayer, do we pray about some things we just spoke about? Do we pray for our brethren? Do we pray for situations that they are dealing with? Do we pray about things going on in our life? Again, prayer is a wonderful, wonderful thing that God allows us. So do we use it? You know, do we pray when we have important decisions to make? Wally mentioned that Wednesday. You know, Jesus prayed when He was choosing the 12. And Luke 16:12, it says, "It was at this time that He went off to the mountain to pray. And He spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, He called His disciples to Him and chose 12 of them, whom He also named the apostles." And we have examples of the apostles praying. So, prayer. Jesus used it. The apostles used it. Do we use it? As we have seen, God allows us this privilege to speak to Him. And this is something that we benefit from and can do for others. Will we truly consider how we use prayer, and will we improve our use of it if we see that there's that need? So, giving. We can start by asking the same question we did with prayer. Does God need this? God is able to do this without us, if that were His plan. But the fact of the matter is that He allows us. He allows us to be a part of this. Also, as we did with prayer, we need to consider our heart. So let's look at the Old Testament for a moment. Now, this isn't the same contribution, but we can see what God expects and learn some things about attitude. So let's start in Exodus 25. Exodus 25:2 says, "Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution." First off, let's notice how this starts off. The Lord says, "Tell the sons of Israel, you know, raise a contribution for me." This is a command. So what else do we see? What should their attitude be? It says, from every man whom heart moves him, whose heart moves him, shall raise my contribution. Let's flip over to chapter 35. And 35 verse 4. It says that this is the thing which the Lord has commanded, saying, and then verse 5. "Take from among you a contribution to the Lord, whoever is of willing heart. Let him bring it as the Lord's contribution." And we can go down to verse 21. It says, "Everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution." So what about our contribution and giving that we're to take part in? What should our attitude be? Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 9:7. It says, "Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Again, we see the idea of heart, or what we have purposed in it. That means that this is something that we should have given thought to. Something that we have considered that we want to be a part of and given thought on what we give. It is also said in here that it's to be not grudgingly or under compulsion. So, not grudgingly. Not something you have to do. This should be something that you want to do. And not under compulsion, shouldn't feel pressured against. Pressured again, this is something that we should want to do. And the end of the verse explains that this should be something we do with cheerfulness. Again, wanting to do. God loves a cheerful giver. So, is that our attitude when we give? God allows us to be a part of this. What does verse 15 say? Whose gift is this? It says in verse 15, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." And this is how God planned for these needs to be taken care of. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 1, it says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save, as he may prosper, so that no collection be made when I come." So we see about this collection that we're to be a part of. And if we look at 2 Corinthians 8, 2 Corinthians 8. And start in verse 1. It says, "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given to the churches of Macedonia. That in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us the will of God. I am not speaking this as a commandment, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also." We see what our giving is. It shows a heart that, number one, cares for God. It cares for His will on things. You know, He established this. And in giving, we're able to participate in these things. Does it not show our love for God and for His people? In Philippians 4:18, Paul says, "I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." It's a fragrant aroma, something pleasing to God, a sacrifice. Do we think of it in that way? You know, think about what we use the contribution for. Of course, our contribution is used for the local work. This comfortable building we have to assemble together in, the support of Steve, our local evangelist. And this is so he can focus on his studies, not have to worry about a secular job. He can focus on God's Word and preparing himself to do the work of an evangelist. We know that it can be used for needy saints. We have funds when a need arises for the need of saints. And evangelism, or evangelists. Of course, that includes Steve, our local evangelist. But there's men that we support in other places. And, you know, here, a large percentage of the contribution goes to support that. You know, this is so men can focus on teaching or preaching God's Word in those areas that they're at. Not have to worry about secular jobs. So their focus and their mind can be on studying or preparing to preach. When we give, we have a share in that. Again, this is something that God allows us. These are needs that are needed. And God allows us to participate in that. Do we think of it that way? What's our attitude towards God? Do we really want to be or have a share in that? Again, it's something that God allows us to be a part of. And do we think of that? And what's our attitude been about this in the past? That's something that we individually will have to look at, both about prayer and forgiving. Hope that we would consider that. But not just what our attitude has been, what should our attitude be? So we looked at this idea of prayer and of giving and our attitudes towards them. God allows us these things. How are we at doing them or using them? It should be a privilege. And when we consider this and consider our treatment of these things, will we look at ourselves honestly? If we see the need, are we willing to change so that we might do better? Turn with me to Romans 3. You know, we have looked at these things, these acts of worship, and things that God allows us. Do we consider the greatest blessing that God allows us? You know, Romans 3:23 says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we know that because of sin, we're separated from God. But God allows us to be reconciled, to be right in His sight. Romans 5, a couple chapters over, Romans 5:8. Says, but God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. Yes, all have sinned, but Jesus is the answer to this problem. God loved us so much that He was willing to send His Son. And Jesus, through His love for us, went to the cross. He paid a debt we were unable to pay. And those that trust in that and that are willing to obey can overcome. Let's end in Acts, the second chapter. Turn over with me to Acts 2. Peter's speaking here, explains some things to them, and in verse 36... it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you've crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall for the forgiveness of your sins. Verse 41. So then, those who had received His word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So we see 3,000 added that day. There were more than 3,000 there. But not all obeyed. Knowledge alone is not enough. We have to be willing to change because of that knowledge. said that they were pierced to the heart. How about our heart? Do we live in a way that shows we trust in the Lord? If we do, then we definitely should be a people that are praying. And our heart should be in all the acts of worship. But maybe you're here and you didn't know of that great love. Or you know of this love, but had never put on Christ. Had never obeyed it. God allows that. So whatever your need is, please come forward as we stand, as we sing.